This is JimPinto.com e-news number 292, the 10th of March 2011. This e-news is read by JimPinto's text-to-speech robot Jimbo, or Jimbot, if you prefer. As usual, there are 5 items, and 3 feedbacks in this issue of e-news. Item 1. Technology eliminates work and workers. The stock market is up again. The Fed says the recession is over. There was big news that unemployment is inching back below 10%. Everyone wants to return to the good old days of full employment. No one wants to take a pay cut. But here's the difficult truth. The current recession is not just a temporary thing, it is a radical shift in the structure of our economic way of life. Automation technology continues to reduce human work, physical and mental, in the production of goods and services. Automation started in manufacturing, but continues to expanding into most other arenas. Telephone operators have been replaced by automatic switchboards, secretaries by answering machines, clerks by computers. Medical records are kept with much greater speed and accuracy by automated systems. ATMs have almost eliminated the need to visit banks during working hours. Today, you don't even need to put your check in an envelope for ATM deposit. You can simply take a picture with your smartphone and send it to the bank. Automation is eliminating manufacturing jobs everywhere in the world. In the first decade of this new millennium, about 3 million factory jobs were eliminated, about 30% of the workforce, supposedly to compete with cheap foreign labor. Here's the point. Those jobs are not coming back, and it has nothing to do with the cost of labor. Well-managed companies don't want to hire people and then lay them off again. They keep looking for high-tech ways to do more with less. During the recession, productivity gains allowed many companies to maintain or even increase profit margins as revenues decreased. Companies who laid off thousands of workers have learned to use existing technology more effectively to have lean operations. Production lines produced faster with fewer people. Offshore manufacturing is not to blame. Even China is reducing their labor workforce. Industrial work is increasingly done by machines, which produce cheaper, faster, and better. The prospect of employment will continue to diminish for a large percentage of the population. Current thinking is simply looking in the rearview mirror. We are not really considering solutions for the new era, where there is no more work. Item 2. No more work. The disappearing middle class. Our old ideas of work ethic are disappearing. In the future, how will work be defined? What fraction of the population is capable of finding reasonably paid, meaningful work? Today, there are lots of jobs in high technology and high-end healthcare. And there are lots of needless and costly bureaucratic jobs, subsidized by declining tax revenues. And then there are menial, low-paying service jobs, like house cleaning and lawn mowing, which are not considered worthwhile, but are still the only way left for some people to make a living. The gap between the rich and the middle class will continue to widen. A small percentage of the population owns the wealth, and a steadily reducing number of people are needed for its continuance, for the production of goods and services which only the rich can afford. In the old consumer economy, well-being and a sense of satisfaction were tied to purchasing and owning. The American dream of owning a home came from gainful employment, largely from producing goods and services. But that is declining steadily. And what will be left? The political parties are increasingly frustrating their followers by naming impractical ideals. Lower taxes, reduced deficits, full employment. That are contradictory. These are conundrums that cannot be solved. Solutions won't come from old myths which cause conflict against mirrors of ourselves. We have met the enemy, and it is us. New paradigms are demanding new answers. I remain optimistic that human ingenuity and persistence will generate new solutions. Item 3. Smart Manufacturing Leadership Coalition. Yes, many Americans are recognizing the disappearance of old-style manufacturing, and are doing something about it, with government involvement. Will it make a difference? The Smart Manufacturing Leadership Coalition, SMLC, is a public/private partnership program to to revitalize U.S. manufacturing. This includes manufacturing and technology companies, government labs, and research universities, which will lead the actions necessary to ensure U.S. global competitiveness. SMLC has three program principles. 1. Manufacturing data is the essence of manufacturing intelligence and needs to be sensed, more easily collected, consistently defined, managed as an operating asset, and selectively shared among companies. 2. Broadly accessible capabilities and capacity need to be developed for sharing through standardized approaches and low barrier accessibility to small, medium, and large enterprises. 3. Meaningful use is defined in terms of energy, sustainability, environment, health, and safety, economic and jobs performance, and flows from agile, demand-driven supply chains, enterprise optimization, and sustainable production. Recognizing that manufacturing is critical to America's long-term economic competitiveness, government funding of $150 million over 3 years, with industry co-investment, will solidly launch this public-private partnership program. It will build a critical mass of industry involvement, capturing and applying manufacturing intelligence with substantive demonstration projects. It is not enough to invent new technologies in America. We must also invest in the ability to manufacture those technologies. The framework for revitalizing American manufacturing is a comprehensive plan that can unleash the next generation of industrial productivity and innovation for the 21st century. Item 4. Web media boosts automation knowledge. Education is not keeping up with today's speed of technology change, causing a growing skills mismatch in the industrial automation arena. Today, individual skills are bolstered and expanded through specialized groups within social networks, many organized specifically to share automation knowledge. Most engineers join automation special interest groups on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and the like, sharing questions, problems, and solutions with the automation community at large. It's amazing how quickly multiple responses arrive from people who have applicable knowledge or experience. The productivity results are significant. Most automation suppliers and end users have started to leverage social media to connect with the worldwide industrial automation community in a variety of ways, ranging from online forums, wikis, and communities, to blogs and microblogs. Designed to foster interactivity, forums and wikis provide for sharing of industry information and a platform for Q&A discussions. Collaboration and innovation happen when people get together and feed off one another, adding to each other's ideas and seeing problems, solutions, and opportunities from different angles. Conventional engineering education is becoming outdated. Social media provides and enhances up-to-date knowledge and gets results. Item 5. Frank Williams starts global marketing. My longtime friend and colleague Frank Williams joined Action Instruments, the company I founded, as a young man. He was employee number 7 and ended up as president when I retired some 30 years later. When he left Action, he became CEO of Elpro Technologies, which was acquired by MTL and then Cooper Industries. Frank is one of the best marketing people I know. He has just exited Cooper to start his own new business, which provides strategic business marketing advice for companies in the industrial automation arena. Frank writes, "Businesses today face more challenges than ever. What companies did right for their customers last year, last month, and perhaps even last week, is most likely obsolete. Technology is assaulting every aspect of your business's marketing mix, price, promotion, product, and place. Global competition lurks behind every account and around every opportunity. Your firm's go-forward business strategy requires thoughtful consideration and a plan to address today's fundamental changes." With this backdrop, Frank Williams has announced the formation of Global Marketing Inc. With breadth and depth of knowledge in the industrial automation arena, working with senior decision-making executives, his company is ready to work with you. If you have marketing challenges, and who doesn't? You need Frank Williams to get involved. Global marketing will advance your company's market penetration and accelerate performance in global growth markets. Hey, you've just got to view Frank Williams' series of videos on creative marketing, Marketing Minutes. That'll get you hooked. As usual, there are three feedbacks in this issue of E-News. Feedback 1. Jake Prosky doubts Ray Kurzweil's futurist extrapolations. Every generation has had its star futurist. Alvin Toffler was popular in the 1970s. How well does his stuff hold up today? Well, at least he was smart enough not to write so specifically as Kurzweil does. Kurzweil has discovered the fantastic predictions one can make using semi-log and log-log scales. However, just as they say on Wall Street, past performance is no guarantee of future results. Wall Street chartists often do exactly what Kurzweil has done, and they often get things spectacularly wrong. Personally, when discussing where the state of the art will be in the future, I think it best to look squarely at the known science and the technologies currently in use, not the trends. Feedback 2. Rob Henley, president of up-and-coming IO Select, resonated with my iPad reflections. Got a smile on my face seeing that you two have been sucked into the Apple ecosystem. I couldn't help but reply. Ever since I bought my first iPhone and Apple TV several years ago, I have been caught on the technology treadmill that Apple manages better than just about anyone. Maybe that's why the Apple stock I bought around the same time as that first iPhone has grown more than 600%. The experience and content Apple provides is awesome. I am now getting ready to order my new MacBook Pro. I will then take my entire hard drive off of my Dell Latitude. Then slowly I will wean myself off of Windows and MS apps altogether. Indeed, I am again hooked on Apple, and have come full circle since that time I got my first computer, an Apple II paid for by Action Instruments, in 1980. So now I do have a new dilemma. Do I watch movies on the plane with my new MacBook Pro, or on my iPad? I still need to take three things with me when I travel due to content and application functionalities, but I see this all changing soon. On this treadmill I say that soon the eyes will have it. Enjoy the ride. Feedback 3. My sister Loretta Pinto in India wrote about Joel Kotkin's discussion on changing family values in America. I liked what you wrote about how the family has changed in the U.S. It's nice to know that grandparents have a place with their children and grandchildren. My friends in North Dakota and all of my friends have such large families, and they are all so close. I realize that rural areas are different in America, and my friends are all very rural. But it's nice to think that more of America is like that. Well, that's this issue of E-News. Please send us your feedback. Tell Jim how you like me, his Jimbot text-to-speech robot. Send your email to jim@jimpinro.com. Thank you.